This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Steve Brooks, and today I'm talking to Patrick Morrissey, GM Revenue Optimization Business Unit at Upland Altify. Hello, Patrick.
Steve, hello. Thanks for joining us.
And Nigel Cullington, VP Product Marketing at Upland Altify. Hello, Nigel.
Good to meet you again, Steve.
We're here at Dreamforce, Salesforce, widely known for CRM. You guys kind of cover it from a different area in the sense that you look at the sales management layer on top. But do we need CRM or is it PRM? Is it prospect relationship management? And what's the difference and where do you sit?
To us and to our customers, CRM is table stakes. It is vitally important that at an enterprise level, within complex selling, within the world that we work, that customers can map their data. Salesforce or CRM or whichever one you want to choose has been around for 20 odd years. Back in 99 when Oracle and Siebel split up and started the CRM evolution and Salesforce took it into the cloud and no software, transition has been immense. And because we are a native application on the platform, all of our customers are Salesforce users. But the world over CRM is of vital importance. But there is a difference. CRM to us really doesn't add the value that we see that customers need. It doesn't provide the strategy, the methodology. It does provide the technology, but there's no sense of guided selling, of process, of account and opportunity management in just looking at data. So that's where we come in. And as you say, we sit on top of the CRM application. Number one, yes, you have to have CRM. But number two, we believe there needs to be an evolution towards what we call customer revenue optimization, which is a different thing.
How would you describe customer revenue optimization?
Customer revenue optimization is really an evolution for us, and what we see in terms of the market space that we really focus on, Steve, is complex products, complex markets where sales cycles are B2B only, but sales cycles are long running. Think months and years, not days and weeks. Really, customer revenue optimization boils down to three basic constructs. Number one is, how do you define a strategy that touches not just the sales team, but the entire go-to-market team, from business development and marketing all the way through to customer success? How do you get everybody aligned and focused on the customer with the idea that you want to deliver value? So you have to have a strategy to do that. Number two, as part of a customer revenue optimization approach, is you need to have methodology. And methodology in plain English is all about getting everybody to speak the same language and understand where you are in an opportunity, where you are in guiding the customer's life cycle, and do we all understand and speak the same way about the current state of play with the customer. And then finally, there's the technology aspect of this, where Dreamforce is great for us because we're a native Salesforce application. And one of the problems that we help solve is, how do you take the art and the science of complex selling and actually bring to life the people and problems in Salesforce in the experiences that people are using every day? So you've got to have strategy, you've got to have technology, you've got to have methodology, and all these things have to work in unison to help drive strategic sales, the strategic sales motion, really, and to help deliver value in every interaction for the customer.
That's great if you're doing that sell up front, but what about the cross-sell and the upsell? Because sometimes people have thrown into the in-life services engagement, but actually there are still a lot of opportunities there. So do you track across that as well?
We do. We see that problem all the time. Actually, Gartner put out a survey earlier this year. They'd done some research, and the net of it was that only 28% of all enterprises think they're doing a good to great job in terms of cross-sell and upsell. Which means the 70% use case is lots of organizations have a lot of work to do. And more often than not, for all the energy, all the cycles we see with organizations putting their money into more salespeople and focusing on new logos, the best, highest value revenue and the way to actually complement and extend the customer journey is to get really intensely focused on that cross-sell and upsell motion. And we tend to think about that as part of CRO as an account plan. But in this case, the big distinction there is an account plan is something you get the team to collaborate on and you do every day and every month and every week. It's not the sort of thing that's the one and done. Part of the big problem with cross-sell and upsell for a lot of people is everyone likes the idea of account planning in theory, but it looks like PowerPoint and Excel documents that happen about this time of year as you're getting ready for sales kickoff. They go in the drawer or in the bin, and then nobody does anything differently than they did before, and no surprise, they leave a lot of money on the table.
You talk about plan, you talk about strategy, but does that mean relationship selling is dead?
If you look at the old thought of coin-operated sales guys and relationship selling in the steak dinners and golf outings and whatever, then it is dead. But the fundamental principle, and we strongly believe in it, our customers do, is that you need to put the customer at the center. And the only way of doing that is really understanding people and problems. And that's what we help in the applications that we provide. It's vitally important that to become what you want to be as a trusted advisor is that you really understand that the people you're working with, how to navigate the organizations that you're dealing with, understanding their influence, but also understanding, once you know these people, you know, what do they care about? What problems are they trying to solve? The world of selling across most industries that we work in, whether it be healthcare, manufacturing, telecoms, the model has completely changed. They have some very well-seasoned 20-year veterans in their sales organizations, men and women who have been there and have seen it. They've seen the evolution of the marketplace. It's very much subscriber-based now. And if you look at companies like Honeywell, who traditionally heating and air conditioning, they're now looking at deals where they may work with a customer for 30-plus years. So they really need to understand the people that they're dealing with and the problems they're trying to solve. And the only way you can do that is really getting that trusted advisor status. We're not selling products anymore. It's solutions and how we can help our customers going forward.
More importantly, I just want to jump in, Steve. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but let me give you an example that paints the illustration Nigel's talking about. One of our customers, Autodesk, who has revolutionized a number of markets, really is a leader in the space that they play in. They did an analysis, and what they found was if the revenue team was able to identify three or more mentors or supporters, meaning they had power, they had influence, they were clearly supportive of Autodesk and the strategy and the products and the solutions being proposed, if they could clearly identify that and show evidence of that in their plan in Altify, their win rate for $1 million-plus transactions goes up by 137%.
You're talking about mapping the buyer.
100%. And I think part of the nuance of your question about is relationship selling dead is it's not about I've got a lot of cards in my Rolodex because I've been selling for a long time. It's about I understand the organization, I understand influence strategy, I understand what's important to who, both the company wins and the personal wins. And maybe more importantly, I can provide evidence which says we're well positioned to demonstrate our unique value. And when you can do that and you can actually bring that to life in Salesforce and actually map that out, the results are extraordinary.
I think ultimately it comes back to the word you use about trust. I mean, trust always comes in the top three of any procurement survey as being the most important factor of any procurement choice.
That's an interesting concept because part of the implication of trust is you've earned the right to have the dialogue that turns into a commercial transaction. And part of the way you earn that right is you have to spend a lot of time deeply understanding the customers, people, and their problems, and to be able to clearly articulate, not in my language, but in your language, what's important, what are you trying to do to bring value to your customers, and how do we help you on the mission that you're on? And when you do that, when you can speak the customer's language and you can show demonstrable proof, that's where you start to earn trust and that's where you earn the respect and the ability to have the type of relationship that extends in years and in decades in some cases.
So dinner and golf isn't quite dead yet then?
No, I think it's still there, but I mean, you can't base your sales strategy on the people that you can connect to at the golf club anymore. You really do have to understand what you're trying to solve. We had a situation, and your EMEA listeners would know British Telecom. So BT, stalwart of the telecoms market, but it's a commoditized space. There are lots of people snapping at their heels. And they realized that if it was just product sales or relationship sales, then it's a race to the bottom. It's price and that's it. And they needed to step out of that. They needed to go to customers and get that trusted advisor status. Anyone that's looking for a telco solution has done all the research up front. They know what your products do. They know what value you can deliver. What they need is to be able to trust you as a company to say, I have these problems. I'm not sure I'm looking at them at the right way. I need your support. And that's why BT has transformed the way that they sell and moved it into this people and problems and understanding the customer, putting them at the center and helping them over a much longer period of time.
Some would argue there's also an element of service excellence in there as well.
Has to be.
No question, because the part of the trend line around this entire conversation is everybody talking about the importance of experiences. The challenge, I think, sometimes is that so much energy is put on the front end in the selling and in the contract execution or the provisioning in the case of comms, for instance, much less time and attention has been put into the what's my experience after I've closed the contract and who's paying attention to me and who cares and what am I seeing that's helping me get my job done more effectively. Failure to really organize around and focus on experience can be career limiting and can be company limiting.
It sounds like in some ways, and I talk to CMOs on the marketing side, it sounds like you're almost interested in the art and the science within that sales process as well. Where's the balance at the moment and where should it be? Because is the art the dinner and the golf and the sciences around the data points. It's a lot more complex, I think, in sales, isn't it?
The way we think about that is fundamentally any kind of customer revenue optimization strategy, and really what good looks like in strategic account selling for big B2B organizations, is you have to fundamentally agree with the premise that science is the primary driver. Are you doing the same thing in the same way? Do you have the evidence? Have you minded the details? Have you gotten everybody organized around the customer? And can you be really prescriptive at scale, where you might have 20, 30, 50, or 100 different people in your organization touching the customer to get through a transaction? The art piece comes in, particularly when you think about the basics like sales enablement. We all have stories to tell. We're expected to know the products. We're expected to be able to give the pitch. Everybody's got a little bit unique, different style. Part of the magic becomes, can you take the best pieces of the artistry in different pockets and different areas of the organization, but can you ground it back in a common understanding of the customer and in a way that drives the same sort of behaviors around the world every single day? And that's much more science than it is art.
There's a nuance there, though, surely, that if you're, in a sense, productize your sales enablement, art is in the mind of the beholder. So your buyer will have different viewpoints on different types of sales enablement documents. How do you marry those two views? How do you get that personalization for the buyer?
There's a couple different elements of that, and it's a great question, Steve. I think from my perspective, having grown up primarily in marketing, that's where the power of story and really focusing on, if you understand what the client's outcome is, what they're trying to achieve, then can you start to frame the stories in the art of the possible to help paint the vision for the prospect about here's where you are now, where you also want to give them some comfort. We've seen this film before. We know how this works. Let me tell you what you should expect, and let me tell you what to think about, and let us help you give some insights about best practices and approach. And some of that is technology. Some of it has very little to do with technology, frankly, and what this journey is going to look like over a series of years. My perspective is part of the art of this is, do I understand and do we as an organization understand your business well enough that we can tell you a compelling story, and then we can bring it back to the details that are important for you and your organization and how you're going to measure it? Because everyone loves a great story, but it's got to be grounded in the business reality. Back to the idea of trust is you absolutely have to believe that if Nigel and I showed up to sell something to you, that we understand your business, we have a best-in-class solution, and we are keenly interested not just in the organization's success, but your personal success. And if we have that level of trust, then we hopefully have applied a little bit of an artistry and some creative thinking to help orchestrate what that might look like for you and how we're going to help you over time.
Just to add to that, specifically in our world, there are lots of companies that are saying, is the salesperson dead? Is it going to be replaced by artificial intelligence and robots and so on? And that's where we strongly believe the art of the science needs to remain. The pure science of selling run by AI is not going to happen in complex sales because you lose the relationship and the understanding and trust. We call that augmented intelligence because we see the sellers at customers we work with and the organizations that we work with as knowledge workers. They need data to be able to inform their next sales process, and we use augmented intelligence to do guided selling, but it's down to the sales guy, the salesman, the saleswoman, to really understand what to do with that data. And that still has to be about relationships. It still needs to be about understanding. That's really where I particularly see that art and science being married. But if there are companies out there that says that we can replace your AE sales force in your complex sales environment with data points, it's not going to happen.
Ultimately, people buy from people, unless your procurement's an AI.
Procurement is probably a different sell, very much probably part of that sales journey. We in Altify, when we look at the CRO ecosystem, we call it, it is that buyer journey, that full customer experience. And we think that is important, but we look at it from an account level. So we're in the center at the sale, so that point where your prospect becomes a customer. But there's all that work beforehand and all that work after with customer success and so on. The issue is that it's still siloed, and what we're trying to do is break out of that silo, obviously on top of CRM because that's where the data resides. If you're in a complex sales environment and you're looking at an account and you might have 10 to 15 sellers on that single account, some of our healthcare customers have 70 to 80 people on a single account. But if their marketing team and their business development team aren't looking at the same account plans and doing the same tests and improves on those deals, and again the customer success people are going towards the end of the sales cycle, then you're not providing that customer journey.
Patrick, I want to take that argument a step further in terms of that personalization. What you're talking about is, in a sense, is the traditional vertical approach in terms of I understand your industry, I understand your business, and I can bring in the right documentation to that. Are we getting to a point where we can personalize that document so the actual individual buyer has a preference for sport? And actually, can we change the language around some of the sales enablement documents to personalize it down to the individual buyer? Because obviously individuals are different. Are we getting to that granular level of personalization yet, or is that still some distance away?
We're starting to get there, I would say. The observation that I have talking to sales and marketing leaders in large, complex organizations is we're still not at the stage where sales, marketing, much less the whole revenue team, speaks the same language and knows enough about the individuals at scale that they can really tailor it. It's part of the ongoing evolution that we're all in the middle of about really account-based sales and marketing, which gets down to the personalization level of what do we know about these individual people, how they behave, what influences them, how they buy, and what can we do to tailor our message to break through the noise and break through the barrier. My thesis is we're starting to get there, but I still see far too many examples, honestly, where the sales leader says, well, we're focused on these segments in this area. We need more information. Marketing, give us that ABM stuff. The implied ask there is help me tailor something that's going to really resonate with my customer and start a dialogue that hopefully we can turn into a broader relationship. The marketing side of the house, who's spent a fair amount of time looking at the accounts as well as looking at the market broadly, says, great, tell me what problem we're trying to solve or give me some insight, and we'll work with you to tailor really effective messaging for it. And really large organizations think about this, that there is that top tier of accounts that they put a lot of time and a lot of money in. They turn around to their sales peers, and the peer in sales goes, yeah, we're selling to healthcare, just give me the stuff. So what you get is a lot of hand-waving and not necessarily a lot of personalization that's really going to result in a multiplier for the target accounts. So to me, it feels like it's still early days.
It sounds like you're advocating the merging of marketing and sales, or at least in the leadership of those two organizations as they come close together almost.
They have to be aligned, and that's the conversation about the revenue team. You can't hope to help and produce value for a customer if your revenue team is not working with the customer holistically. In Pat's example there, the sales manager says, we're in healthcare, let's go after healthcare. And the marketing team goes, well, who in healthcare? And we haven't been involved in your account planning strategy, and we don't really understand. And are we providing the value they really want, or are we just selling products? There is an opportunity, but I do think you need to take it with a small pinch of salt, that absolutely it should be industry-based, absolutely it should be persona-based. ABM has been around for 4 or 5 years. I don't think it's had the impact that it should have had. If you can start to marry it under an umbrella of CRO as part of the account planning strategy, you're looking at your ABM strategy. We come from a background of target account selling, that's our methodology, because we target accounts. You work on a small number, you get to know them really well, you understand their pressures and obstacles and try and solve them. I think you've got to be careful, even though you could do it, where you get down to the level and you mentioned a guy like sport. You can tailor a message to say, well, look, I saw on LinkedIn that he was at the Knicks game, and I can say, go Knicks. If I'm a buyer, do I really want that stalking? Don't think that's really adding value to the conversation I want to have. If it get an open on a lead, maybe, but in our business development teams and many that we work with, you've just got to marry that very carefully, that you're not stalking and you're providing true value.
Going back to your point, we would absolutely advocate for that intersection of sales and marketing, and that problem at one level is as old as time. So when I'm having these conversations with people, I put my sales hat on for a second. Or actually, if I start from the marketing perspective, there's a truism in marketing, which is salespeople exist to ask for things they don't truly need. But the problem with that is that more often than not, marketing misses a trick because they haven't consulted with either the sales leaders or the frontline sellers about what content they want. Or here's a good idea, ask the sellers to introduce you to customers. Customers will tell you what content and what vehicles are most impactful. And on the flip side of that equation too, what I see time and time again that's a real tell about whether organizations are on the right thread about this is you talk to a sales leader and say, when's the last time somebody senior in marketing was out on a sales call with you? It becomes really clear really quickly, does marketing have an IQ about helping sales sell? And that's part of pulling the strings on both sides to bring the organization together around the customer.
Nigel, you said CRM's been around for 20 years. So why isn't it doing this yet? Surely it's been improved.
If you look at how many of the CRM providers are running it, Salesforce, for instance, they are building the platform which customers need. It's secure, it never goes down, it keeps customers' data where it needs to be. As an on-platform provider, we have no access to customer data. But when we sell to a customer, we can give them all the guarantees and securities around backup time and cloud storage and whatever that Salesforce provides. So, I mean, that's an important thing. But if you look at how they're trying to grow, I know Salesforce, I know Microsoft are trying to do vertical industries. What they're not doing is building new technology on top of it. They have a platform. They're now looking at ISVs or App Exchange partners or whatever to come in and provide that data. But that's a very small level. Most App Exchange companies providing apps like the phone stores, we do this very small piece of endpoint technology. We're not looking at doing integration. We just want to sell our application. There does need to be that move. Every time that we go and speak to a new customer, they have expected that huge investment that they have put in CRM because it's not cheap. Should have driven value, should have driven improved practices, higher win rates, bigger revenue. And it doesn't. And it's down to companies like us and part of the CRO ecosystem to say, because you need to start looking at things like how you manage your sales process, how you qualify your opportunities, how you do account planning. And that has to be holistic. It has to be more than just the sales team. It has to become a wider part of the revenue team. And once you start to understand through people and problems what the customer cares about and how you can help them solve it for mutual value, then you've got a customer for life.
So is this a combination of technology and the implementation of a sales methodology within each organization?
It's not just methodology, because I think a lot of methodology has its own baggage, if you will. It's more alike than not. The challenge we see continuously is that that methodology hasn't been turned into guidance that's available for everybody on the team. Our bias out of the box is target account selling methodology, but the fact of the matter is, whatever methodology you use is the right one. Just pick one and make sure everybody uses it and make sure it's baked into the applications and the processes. When we look around the universe of customers, we see customers like Challenge or like Highland Software that they prefer to use Challenger. If that's the construct you want, great, use Challenger. Versus if you look at companies like Anaplan and Splunk, you see MedPic or Medic or Johnson Controls very much uses a target account selling approach globally. Doesn't matter what the methodology is, it's using it with rigor and using it with consistency and then automating that so it's part of the technology stack, which I think is part of the answer to your question a moment ago about why aren't more people doing this? Why aren't we there yet? It's because the idea of customer revenue optimization and this notion of guided selling that automates process and methodology is really pretty nascent in terms of just the last couple of years. But Aragon Research recently put out a report and really started focusing on CRO as its own category. And what Jim Lundy, who's the CEO and head analyst, says is it's one of the fastest growing categories he's ever seen. And that CRO as a standalone category is $3 billion by 2022. This is suddenly moving very, very quickly. And his thesis is it very quickly becomes the haves and the have-nots. Either you're trying to bring together process and methodology and technology and really have this customer focus that's automated and lives in your application stack, you're on the front end of this, or you're going to continue to piecemeal it on the back end, and that film is probably not good for your competitive situation.
And we're doing this because this is a customer ask. We've been asked for the last 3 or 4 years by our customers, how do we tie in the account planning with, let's say, our ABM? How do we tie NPS scores with the opportunity map when we're looking at white space? So this was a need that's come from our customers. We don't own the category, but we're spearheading it. But it's going to take an ecosystem to go across those siloed areas of not just sales, but customer success and business development and so on. We've got our CRO Summit tomorrow, and we've got companies like Gainsight and Outreach and Seismic joining us because they're asked the same questions. Gainsight are asked when they're looking at customer success, okay, but how do we improve our account planning structure? So we need to come together as a sort of movement in CRO. CRM is always going to be there, needs to be there. It is table stakes, but we need to come together as a group of CRO ecosystem partners to try and move that forward. And part of our recent history with the acquisition by Upland Software is that in our division, we have companies like RO Innovation and Qvidian and Kapost that are already in some of our customer base, but we now need to work out how we integrate some of that data so that it actually benefits the customer in the long term. It benefits that customer experience, that customer journey.
Someone listening to this, what's the question they need to ask of their company, and what's the first step they should be taking?
The first question to ask is, what's the primary problem we're trying to solve? which to us generally falls into one of two buckets, because there's no sales leader who got up this morning who wasn't thinking to herself in big and small ways, how do I do something better? The first level question is, how do we either A, improve our win rates and our sales velocity, or B, generate pipeline? Because to us, we see when we get to the board level and we talk to the sales directors, they're challenged in both places, but it's what is your primary focus? What problem do you have to solve first? Either we need to improve win rates and deal size and pipeline quality, so it's much more opportunity focused, or the question you asked earlier, which is for a lot of companies who have a lot of sophisticated sellers and a big track record, we're great at selling, we're much less good at understanding pipeline because we don't understand and don't execute well on cross-sell and upsell. That's, to me, the first order question. And the second order question is, what are the systems and processes in place to help everybody become part of the revenue team? Because the observation we have is the best-in-class sales organizations, it's not just the salespeople and the executives, it is everybody's in the business of selling. In the subscription-based world we live in, it's a long game. You have to have a great experience. You have to win every month and every year to retain your customer and grow your customer. The fundamental question to ask for your listeners is, what are the systems and processes and investments that the organization is making to really help us deliver and activate the whole revenue team? Because when you can do that, it's a game changer.
Nigel?
It can't just be an application that you buy. And certainly for us, and I'm sure others that will be in the ecosystem, this has to come through change management. If you want to transform your sales organization, it has to come top down. It's not just a case of, there are many software providers out there that have endpoint solutions that say, do you want to be able to look at a hierarchy organization chart? Sure, I can buy that. It's not going to actually help my sellers. It's not going to provide guided coaching. It's not going to really allow me to see influence. But when we talk to customers, that's the first thing, as Pat says, you've got to understand what their main problem is and how you can help them achieve that under two buckets, but it has to come top down. And we spend a lot of our time working with prospects and potential customers at that first level to really help them understand that it needs to be holistic change. A good thing that's come from customer revenue optimization is certainly in America, we're seeing a lot more sales organizations being led by a CRO, a customer revenue officer. And they work across that tight market between sales and marketing alignment. It's less so in EMEA at the moment, but I think it will happen. But to change an organization has to have top-down understanding, top-down change management, and that real belief that the revenue team and every touch point with the customer can drive value.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoyed the conversation.